The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're coming to you, if you're listening overseas, or at least in Europe and the UK, we're coming an hour earlier. I forgot to announce that on Friday, but here in the States, we had the clocks move forward over the weekend, and that doesn't happen in the UK and Europe, I believe, for another couple of weeks. So we'll have to make all of our viewers and listeners aware of the time change. So for the next 2 weeks, we'll be a little bit earlier. But for those of you here in North America, same time. It's a little earlier, though. It's nice and dark outside. It was getting light there for a while. But we'll enjoy the extra daylight that we have at the end of the day. Well, there was this piece at Hot Air talking about I think it's the National Park Service that has denied a request from South Dakota's tourism department for the fireworks display on July 4th. I mentioned last week we were going through some of those sound bites from the fake president's speech on Thursday evening, I believe it was. And he said that if we were good, if we behaved, if we wore the double masks, if we kept social distance, 6 feet, there's a new study saying maybe 3 feet. So whatever it is, if we keep the social distance and then, of course, take the vaccine, and you keep hearing more and more reports of people dying days after taking the vaccine, days after taking the jab. Marvin Hagler, the famous boxer from the 80s and 90s, he died, I think, 2-3 days after he took the vaccine. In any event, if we behave, we might be able to get together, small gatherings, but we might be able to get together and actually celebrate the Independence Day holiday on July 4th. But now, I don't know what happened in 4 or 5 days, but now the National Park Service says no, no to the fireworks display. And as I said last week, we had one just last year as President Trump was there with 7,000 people and nothing happened. There was no super spreader event that or the super spread of the COVID-19 virus after that. But now a full year on, and we're still a couple months out, it's already canceled, the fireworks display there in front of Mount Rushmore. Listen to Dr. Fauci. He was on one of the Sunday shows yesterday talking about weddings, when people will finally be able to have an indoor wedding again. This is clip one.
When can people plan an indoor wedding?
You know, that's a good question. And I think that's going to be within a reasonable period of time. You know, I can't give you that exact date because it's going to absolutely depend. And this gets back to our conversation a minute or two ago. It's going to depend on the level of infection in community. If we keep going down and get to a very, very low level, when we're there and we have a good proportion of the people vaccinated, I think you're going to see weddings in the normal way that we've seen it within a reasonable period of time.
15 days to stop the spread. And here we are. Here we are still. We enjoyed, by the way, a beautiful wedding, outdoor and indoor, last evening. Right here in North Edmond, a beautiful, beautiful evening. Sun was shining. I don't know how many people were there, 150 or 200 maybe. A wonderful event. Here, though, and it's as if, again, two Americas. You have Joe Biden speaking to his supporters. And by the way, I think it was Gateway Pundit that said that that live stream carried by the White House YouTube channel, that speech from the illegitimate president Thursday night, it brought in 7,000 viewers. 7,000! This was his first live address, his first primetime address. Everybody's at home. Everybody's in lockdown. It's at night. And 7,000 people, that's it. In a nation of 330 million, 7,000 watched it live on the White House YouTube channel. This is supposed to be the most popular elected president in the history of the United States. This is the world that we're living in today. So here's Chuck Todd, and he's trying to, when can I tell some of my staff that you can actually plan an indoor wedding? That's television yesterday. I made the mistake, by the way. My wife was cutting my hair yesterday. So we turned on the TV and watched a little bit of Chuck Todd. Big, big mistake. Huge mistake. We watched Chuck Todd and his panel talk about the ongoing Andrew Cuomo scandal. And just in the opening statements, Donald Trump is discussed. And then I told my wife, okay, I'm going to keep track of how many times they mentioned Donald Trump. It was one, two, three, Trump, 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 Trump. And it was supposed to be about Andrew Cuomo and his behavior. And they couldn't help themselves. I mean, the ratings are crashing. And so they've got to try to insert Donald Trump into the storyline somehow, some way, so that maybe their ratings will increase, so that maybe they'll get a ratings boost. But here they are. Listen to this segment. This is supposed to be about Andrew Cuomo. And they can't help themselves, as I say. Clip two.
I think, you know, that the other thing that's true is Cuomo is totally dug in. I think the likelihood of Cuomo resigning is close to zero. And I think, you know, he is following right now, uncomfortably for a lot of Democrats, he's following what is seen now as the Trump precedent. Yeah. You know, if you are determined enough, you are shameless enough, you can hold on. And so the question then just become, does he actually get impeached? Does he actually get thrown out? And I think that's going to be a large question around that is going to be what additional evidence comes out over the coming, maybe enough now, but there's going to be a large question about what else unfolds over the next couple weeks.
Yeah, it does feel like he's forcing that. I want to bring up I'm glad you brought up Trump there a minute, John. Lonnie, I want you to respond to something Tim Miller wrote in The Bulwark. He said, dunking on Cuomo's demise requires admitting that the other party has standards and lays bare once again the cravenness of the excuse making for Trump that kept the lights on for the past 5 years. There's a lot of conservative media acolytes and propagandists that are very excited about Cuomo's downfall, but they seem to not be very self-reflective.
Not be very self-reflective. I mean, you've got to look in the mirror, you dirty Republicans. It's the Trump precedent, really, that paved the way for Andrew Cuomo. Trump is to blame. Donald Trump is the reason. That was all over the airwaves yesterday, as I say. He's not in the White House right now at the moment. And yet he is the center of attention because for all of the problems that we see, and there are lots of them, there's tens of thousands of migrants just streaming across the southern border. And 2 seconds ago, Democrats said, it's not a crisis. There's nothing to worry about here. Finally, they're saying, well, it is a crisis, but it's Donald Trump's fault. It's the bad orange man. He's behind it all. This was Nancy Pelosi yesterday on one of the Sunday shows, clip seven.
We've seen a huge surge in migrants crossing the border since January. The number of children in custody higher than it was than its 2019 peak during the Trump administration. Your colleague, Veronica Escobar of Texas, called the conditions there unacceptable. She was there on Friday. Is she right? What more must be done?
Well, I'm sorry, I didn't hear who you said.
Veronica Escobar, Congresswoman
Veronica
from Texas.
Escobar, our colleague from representing El Paso, and yes, it is. Actually, the facts are these. There are more children, about 600-700 more children, unaccompanied children, coming over the border. This is a humanitarian challenge to all of us. What the administration has inherited is a broken system at the border, and they are working to correct that in the children's interest. So this, again, is a transition from what was wrong before to what is right. Of course.
So that's Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, saying, well, the Biden administration inherited this. So is that even Stephanopoulos at the opening of the segment says it's the worst ever. It's worse during the Trump years than compared to the Trump years. And you had Donald Trump, who was building a wall. He was closing down the border. He was protecting American security. And now it's a full-blown crisis because Joe Biden comes in. He opens the borders. And people in Central and South America, they got the message loud and clear. And this started, this current crisis started on January 20th, the same day as the fake inauguration. They're streaming across the border, and they either blame Donald Trump or, as you hear in this next clip, they blame it on climate change, if you can believe it. This is Chuck Todd on his show yesterday, clip 3.
You know, when you think about, sadly, having to prepare for this again, right? And I know there's a lot of folks who think that, you know, due to climate change and due to the globalization in general, it's inevitable we're going to deal with more and more viruses like this. The biggest lesson you're going to take away to prepare for the next one.
So there he is talking not about the border crisis, but about the pandemic and blaming it on globalization and climate change, of all things. What are we going to do, Dr. Fauci? Fauci said, well, we can't really have weddings yet. And then he asked, well, what are we going to do, you know, looking forward, long term? How do we deal with this? Because climate change is causing pandemics. Now, to switch back to the border crisis, here was Nancy Pelosi blaming that also on climate change. Clip 6.
And my most recent trip to the Northern Triangle, that would be Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador, you saw the impact of the climate change, mind you. These people were leaving because of the drought. They couldn't farm, and they were seeking other ways to survive. So there are many reasons that go into this.
So she's blaming the border crisis on climate change, you know, because of, it's crazy to even try to wrap your mind around it. Gavin Newsom last week, he was talking about the pandemics. This was his State of the State address, I believe. And in talking about the pandemic, he talked about when life returns to normal, or will it even return to normal? This is clip 8.
You know, when this pandemic ends, and it will end soon, we're not going to go back to normal. Because I think we all agree, normal was never good enough. You know, normal accepts inequity.
There he is in Dodger Stadium with not a soul in sight. And he's blaming it on, I guess, racial inequity. So there's more Latinos dying from COVID, he says, than whites. So we got to try to figure that out. So it just goes, in other words, these things are just, they're here to stay. It's permanent. It's permanent. This is the new normal. Get used to it, America. Get used to no fireworks at Mount Rushmore. Get used to no indoor weddings. Get used to it, because if it's not the bad orange man, it's climate change. And I mean, they can just go on and on and on with that as an excuse. And then, as he alludes to there, the inequities of our society, the systemic racism that's just built in. As I said, I made the mistake of turning on the TV Sunday morning television, and you go from Meet the Press over to CBS, where, okay, they're setting the stage for the March Madness, the NCAA tournament. The selection, it's Selection Sunday. These are the teams that are going to be in the bracket. And for, I don't know how long it was, I didn't time it, but it felt like a 10, 15-minute segment on Black Lives Matter, of all things. You can't even turn on the TV, the broadcast networks, and watch a little sports without them preaching. Without the propaganda media, in this case, the sports media, setting up the segment. This is how, I mean, college students, these are college teams, and we just want you to know how important these college students are to the movement. Black Lives Matter. And of course, here's the individual setting up the segment saying it was all peaceful. And they were just out there trying to bring about change, don't you know? And all of the footage that was used in the segment, it just looks so wonderful. We just want equality. We just want peace. We just want fairness. And all of these American cities that just went up in flames rioters, looters, arsonists. It was all there for months. It's still there. Look at what happened in Portland and Seattle just over the weekend. And of course, you read Andy Ngo's Twitter feed and these people that are burning down federal buildings. They're arrested and then they're let go. They don't need bail and probably won't even have a trial of any kind. They're arrested and then let go. And meanwhile, you've got the FBI chasing down Iraq war veterans in some cases because they made the mistake of showing up at the protest on January the 6th. FBI raids, guns drawn. Just like with Roger Stone. I think it's further on in my notes if I can find it. January 6th, 2021, and doors are being knocked down. Houses are being raided. And it's all happening as Antifa rioters are attacking federal buildings in Portland, in Seattle. Last Friday in Florida, the FBI, I think I mentioned this last week, the FBI executed this pre-dawn search and arrest warrant on Chris Worrell. He was at the Capitol building on January 6th. They knocked in his door. The neighbors were shocked to see how many armored trucks were outside and armed men. Just some guy, just one guy in Florida. Just minding his own business. And meanwhile, you have these thugs roaming the streets of Portland and Seattle and other cities too. Joshua James in Alabama, he's a war veteran, husband, father of three, wounded in Iraq. I think I mentioned this case last week. He's in jail. He's being held without bail. They don't hold the ones in Seattle or Portland in jail without bail. They arrest them. Okay, we'll go ahead and arrest them, and then we'll let them go. This is America today. You talk about no help. The latest Trumpet magazine, the April edition, America has no helper. No helper. You can't even turn on a sports event on the weekend without these Marxist revolutionaries preaching. They control all of these levers of power, whether it's the media, whether it's the deep state, the DOJ, the FBI. And they're telling people, they're right out front with their agenda. Look, it's climate change, it's Donald Trump, and so we've got to, it's the insurrection, another Pearl Harbor. So we've got all of these obvious reasons why we just have to fundamentally transform everything about America. They had the Grammys last night. I didn't watch any of it. I just saw this clip as some rapper comes on. He's talking about, I guess, the George Floyd episode from last year. And right at the start of his song, if you can call it that, right at the start of this, they have this policeman shooting this suspect in the back. And then that leads into this, I guess, this famous song. This is just a bit of it. I tried to reduce it down to as short as possible. Clip 4.
When I was growing up, I was taught in American history books that Africa had no history, and neither did I. That I was a savage, about whom the less said the better, who had been saved by Europe and brought to America. And of course, I believed it. I didn't have much choice.
Comes the rapper to sing about police brutality, and that's on the Grammys. This is on the same night that a song, I Can't Breathe, I'm not sure who sings that, but that wins, Song of the Year? And then you have the other, just the rottenness of all, you know, rappers singing about their genitalia, being ready for sexual intercourse, and just, they're celebrated. I mean, this is the kind of rot that the music industry, just to take one sector, is producing just on a daily basis. And people love it. Even as they try to cancel out children's books or pull down statues. And this sort of thing just goes on. And we act as if it's normal. God says it's abominable. God says that the children, this is in Isaiah 3, he says the children are taking over. He says the children are oppressing us. That's what you see in that video I just showed you. Young people, children, oppressing, tyrannizing, and the adults, like Nancy Pelosi, they just go right along. Oh, yes, we gotta obey the children. If the children, if they burn down federal buildings in Portland, let them go. Give them space. And meanwhile, if you have a father of three, a war veteran who was injured in the Iraq War, well, if he's a Trump supporter, we got to get him in jail. Put him in jail. No help. As for my people, this is Isaiah 3:12. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. Someone's got to fill that power vacuum. If there's no rule, if there's no authority, if there's no leaders, that's addressed at the first part of the chapter, Isaiah 3, then what fills the void? Well, children. Children and women, as it says there. No leadership. No real authority. No men. And if you do have a man that comes forward and really has some decent male authority, he's to be attacked. He's to be destroyed. He's to be blotted out. No question. Mr. Armstrong wrote back in 1985, the very foundation of any stable civilization is a solid family structure. Today's civilization, with its foundation disintegrating, is itself on the way out. And that's what so many of these songs, as I say, if you can even call them that, that's what so much of this music and entertainment glorifies. It glorifies violence, and it glorifies sexual deviance. It glorifies destruction of the family, basically. Destruction of authority and the family. And that, like Mr. Armstrong said, that's the foundation of any stable society. You get rid of that and you're done. My father, in this article, America Has No Helper, he refers to this verse in Revelation. I think it's in the quote I have, Revelation 2:24. Look at it later. It talks about the depths of Satan. Revelation 12, you know all about that prophecy. Satan and his demons, they've been cast down. And you think of the depths of evil that we see in our society, that we see in government, that we see in Hollywood. It says here in the article, Satan has the power to conduct great evil and not only hide it, but then accuse others of committing it. And if you haven't read this article, I read it again this weekend, but go through it if you haven't yet. My father talks about the Mueller investigation and how that there were two aims there, basically. It was to harass the Trump administration, but it was also to cover up their own lawlessness, the lawlessness that was there. Even as President Trump was making preparations for his run for president back in 2015. And that lawlessness has just continued right on through to today with the election steal. And now you look at the way the FBI is behaving. So much corruption. It says, we saw this with Obama's use of the deep state in general and the Mueller investigation specifically. It's an example of the depths of Satan that Jesus Christ warned his church about. And then it cites Revelation 2:24. He says, you can prove the real purpose of the Mueller investigation, but Satan knows that if he makes it complicated enough to require deep study in order to understand it, most people won't do that. And he can deceive them. The powerful way this man works to destroy the nation he leads is one of those depths. People have no chance without God. And see, that's what he says in the article. Without God, it is hopeless. There is no hope. There's no help. But with God, as my father also says in that piece, with God, there's an endless supply of hope. Our hope, the point of it is, our only hope is in the great Creator God. When we come back, we'll roll through a few more news items as we work our way toward the end of another program here on KPCG and, of course, on the live stream, our website, thetrumpet.com/live, where you can get this every day at 7 a.m. here in the central standard time zone for the United States, an hour earlier than Europe and the U.K. these next couple of weeks. So be aware of that. Spread the word. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Email the program if you like, td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The correspondence course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily. Just an update on some of the things we said about the vaccines that are rolling out here in the United States, in the UK, across Europe. You may have heard even at the top of the hour there about in Europe, the AstraZeneca vaccine, the Netherlands, Ireland, Denmark, Iceland, Norway. They've all paused or stopped using, at least for a time, this AstraZeneca because of health concerns, because of the dangers associated with this medicine, this vaccine. It says here, Austria's, this is from the Daily Mail, Austria's fears were raised by a 49-year-old nurse who died soon after getting the jab, while Norway said three health workers who recently had the jab were being treated in hospital for bleeding, blood clots, and low count of blood platelets. And then, like I said, here in the States, you hear these disturbing reports about Marvin Hagler, for example. Another one I saw on social media yesterday. A young girl in her 20s. And her parents are beside themselves, mourning the loss of their daughter, who just happened to get the vaccine a few days before she died. So she died with the vaccine. That's how we're supposed to keep tabs, right? And how many of these cases are going to be covered in the major media? Zero. None. You'll see a tweet here and there before it gets deleted. You'll see a posting on social media. But it's not going to be featured on the Sunday morning discussions. Dr. Fauci's not going to bring this up. For Dr. Fauci, the vaccine is perfect. Okay, that's their standard response. The election, perfect. The lockdown measures, perfect. Everything we've done to handle this crisis, perfect. It's a disaster. That's the truth. That's the truth. And here they're rolling out, they're pressuring people to take this after they've rushed it through. And yes, most of it happened during the last year of the Trump administration. That's true. And then you have the other story, as I said last week, the Biden administration wanting to take credit for the vaccines. How twisted and distorted is their reasoning? 3 months ago, they were saying, before Trump left office, they were saying, well, we can't really trust the vaccine. He's rushed it through. It could be dangerous. And then as soon as January 20th hits, you take the vaccine. If you don't take the vaccine, you may never be able to get together with the group ever. You may never have a chance to have an indoor wedding again. On a dime, you see, just like with the immigration policy. Same thing. It says here, coming back to this story from the Daily Mail, it says all three individuals in hospital in Norway for conditions including blood clots were under the age of 50. The government were notified on Saturday. It says on Saturday, U.S. boxer Marvin Hagler died at 66 after he reportedly suffered side effects on the COVID-19 vaccine. 66 years old, in good health, so far as I understand. And he died after complications from taking the vaccine. It says what vaccine he received has not been confirmed. It says earlier this week, EU regulators confirmed they are looking into 30 cases of blood clots among nearly 5 million people who have had the dose of the vaccine. So obviously not everybody is immediately on their deathbed once they take the vaccine, but it's just like COVID. Not everybody, 94% of the people that got COVID didn't die. And we had to lock down the entire world for that. So how many people are going to die as a result of this vaccine or die with this vaccine? We don't even know. We're just in the early stages, the very early stages of this. This story, by the way, about the Iowa election. This is for a congressional seat in Iowa. I just thought I saw this from Politico. It was actually from a couple of weeks ago, so we missed this. In our news gathering back when it was posted. But listen to this. Democrat Rita Hart is asking the chamber to overturn her 6-vote loss to Republican Marionette Miller Meeks, arguing valid votes were improperly discarded. And it says further on in this Politico piece, to deal with the past contested elections, the administration committee, this is in the House of Representatives, okay? The administration committee, chaired by Representative Zoe Lofgren, she's from California, has set up a task force to oversee an investigation or recount. So this is a sitting congresswoman, I believe. I believe she lost to another woman, yes. It's already been certified. It was already contested before the Republican was seated in January. And the back then, I mean, it was certified, okay? And now the House is wanting to go back and examine this more closely to see if they might overturn the election. The Democrats. Yes, this is true. In response to something that happened on November 3rd, an election on, not the presidential election. Now, that was perfect, okay? That was perfect. But this congressional seat, it was a narrow victory for the Republican, and we might, if we go back and examine this, we might just be able to find 7-8 more votes for the Democrat so that she can be installed in place of the Republican. It says here the task force would likely include only a few members, perhaps from the Subcommittee on Elections. Well, let me just back up. It says the panel would make a recommendation based on its findings to the entire House, which could then vote on who should hold the seat. The House could decide. Never mind what the people of Iowa voted for or who they voted for. The House might be able to conduct a vote. to overturn the election. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says here, Democrats have been talking a lot these past few weeks about the sanctity of election results, but their principles on that score may be malleable based on who wins. This week, and as I read this, just think about how many times we heard no evidence. No, even as there was piles of thousands of affidavits, video footage, trucks coming in with ballots in the middle of the night. No evidence. I mean, people have been canceled for even bringing the subject up. Our own program on YouTube. You can't even discuss it. You can't even talk about it. That's what led to the violent insurrection. Joe Scarborough, by the way, on his show just this morning, he's talking about the Trump mob that killed police officers, that bashed their head. None of it's true, but he doesn't care. He just keeps going with the narrative. That was violent, January 6th. Last summer, not violent. Last summer, I mean, we're singing about how wonderful that was at the Grammy Awards show. It was wonderful. And as I say, you can't even turn on and watch sports without being preached to. It says, this week, a House committee took the first step in what looks like an effort to unseat the Republican member for Iowa's 2nd Congressional District and install a Democrat instead. They're going to do this. They're actually going to do this. Even as they've clamped down, they've canceled anyone that would dare say that there was foul play with the presidential election. It's unbelievable. It says, Ms. Hart's brief to the committee on House administration claims that 22 ballots should have been counted but weren't. Ms. Miller Meeks replied that the challenge should be dismissed because Ms. Hart declined in December to raise her complaints in a special Iowa court designed to resolve contested elections. So it doesn't matter. I mean, you can twist and bend the laws or the rules in any way that you like. We've certainly learned that with respect to the election and the pandemic and everything that they use to rig the presidential election. So now here they are after the fact, going back and, well, we'll change the rules. And maybe now we'll decide that the House determines who wins this election. It says, Ms. Lofgren said, the American people deserve to know who actually won this election. Can you believe this? A Democrat that would actually say that at this time, especially. The American people deserve to know who actually won this election. Not the presidential election, but this congressional race in Iowa. It says the imperative ought to have been especially evident after January 6th, but Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Thursday that a full House vote reversing the outcome was a possibility. She said this last week. A reporter said, can you see a scenario where the House actually flips this seat? And Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, said, oh, yeah, I can see us flipping this. I can see us overturning this election. It says the party is on the precipice of creating a precedent for the first time in a generation that a partisan majority in Congress can disregard state officials and redo a close election count according to its own preferences. See, never mind what Iowa and its state official. Now, the state election officials in Georgia, they are to be revered, practically worshipped. They ran a perfect election. But now here, the House Democrats say, Iowa, I think there might have been some foul play. So we may just come in and decide it ourselves. We've got a Democrat majority. And after all, it's a slim majority, so we really could use that extra seat. It says here, the party is on the precipice of creating a precedent for the first time in a generation that a partisan majority in Congress can disregard state officials and redo a close election count according to its own preferences. All their high-minded talk about respecting the voters seems to apply only when Donald Trump is challenging the results. It says this blatant Democratic power play could inspire more partisan bitterness and further erode voter faith in elections. Well, I should say that's quite the understatement. This is America today. Two Americas. Two Americas. There was a story coming out of the Daily Mail, and again, I think it's based on one guy's take. Richard was saying that the argument overall was pretty weak, but it was following up on the Meghan Markle attack on the British royal family, saying that she may be setting things up for herself politically, that she might be angling to make a run at the presidency at some point in time. After all, I mean, she's young. She's of mixed race. She's a woman. And she's a radical leftist. And Oprah loves her. And the radical left, they love her. They love that she spoke her truth. They love the fact that she went after tradition, that she attacked the royal family. This is in the Daily Mail. It says Meghan Markle, who will use the furor over her interview with Oprah to launch a political career, which could take her all the way to the White House if rumors circulating around Westminster last week turn out to be accurate. So we don't know if it's just a rumor or what, but I thought it was interesting. One of our viewers sent me this clip from our friend Alan Jones in Australia, Sky News Australia, and he was talking about this assault on the British royal family brought on by Meghan Markle and her husband, Prince Harry. And here they are claiming victim status. We were mistreated. We were mistreated by the royal family, and they're racist. All of them, they're racist. And here's Alan Jones exposing this woman, this young woman, another young person. Again, what does Isaiah 3:12 say? Oppressed by children. And notice how this young person treats her family, her father. This is Alan Jones from Sky News Australia, clip 5.
The best character assessment of Meghan Markle is simply how she's treated her father. Mr. Markle spoke on UK TV and said he didn't think the royal family were racist, and that if there was a question of the colour of the baby, his words, it's just a dumb question from somebody. But Mr. Markle made the point that he underwent heart surgery days before the wedding, and he said his daughter had let him down while he was ill. Now, how's this for filial love? He said, quote, I was in a hospital bed the last time we talked, and I never heard from them again. They didn't care if I died. Asked about the interview, Mr. Markle said, they went way over the top and should have waited, considering the Queen's age and Prince Philip's in hospital. So I'm simply asking tonight, what kind of person, son or daughter, abandons a parent and now, as a grandparent, Mr. Markle hasn't seen his grandson? This millionaire daughter can speak to a billionaire media figure and trash an historic and well-regarded institution. But the millionaire daughter who's happy to speak to a billionaire media figure has no time to speak to a father.
These are people that are destroying family. They have a contempt, a hatred for their own fathers, mothers, their own families. They're going about trashing, as he said there, this historic and well-regarded institution. And here, her own father, she practically disowns him, won't even contact him, even when he's in hospital. And, of course, the Queen's husband, he's been in hospital for weeks. Young people, Isaiah 3 and verse 12, they'll be your oppressors. Mr. Armstrong, in that article I quoted earlier, where this breakdown in the family is taking us. He wrote this in 1985, and I gave you the quote about how the foundation of any stable society, it's the family. It's the family. And this just underscores how important it is for us, those of us in God's family, those of us in God's church. In God's church, you see the family reinforced and built and strengthened, like I was noting yesterday at the beautiful wedding we attended. God is a family builder. and so much of what we see in the world today, there's this conspiracy against fathers. There's this conspiracy against traditional marriage. There's this conspiracy against faithfulness and sexual purity. Instead, they just sing about vile subjects, contemptible subjects. And they win awards for it. Even as tradition, even as well-regarded institutions of tradition are canceled or attacked. Mr. Armstrong said, God is a kingdom. That is the supreme divine family that rules the universe. The whole gospel, which Jesus Christ brought from God for mankind, is the good news of the coming kingdom of God. It says, and the united, closely knit together family of Christians, the church, will at the coming of Christ and the time of the resurrection become the kingdom of God. The church at the return of Christ, we're to become the kingdom of God. We're God's family. It says here, the kingdom of God starts with a family relationship. First, the physical families. Second, the one compacted together church. And finally, when the church is changed to immortality, the God family, which is the kingdom of God. So it all starts with a family relationship. One individual family, and then the church family, and then the God family. That's what it extends right on into the wonderful world tomorrow, where God's family, when God's family will be administering the government of God over all the earth. The soon coming kingdom of God. We went through in that study of Ephesians. Paul talked in Ephesians 3 about the whole family and in heaven and earth. He talked about why marriage in Ephesians 5. He spoke to the children, the importance of child rearing in chapter 6, Ephesians 6. God is a kingdom. That is the supreme divine family that rules the universe. When we come back, we'll conclude today's show with some viewer feedback that's come in from you over the last couple of weeks. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Is marriage on the way out? Is the institution of the home, with its family life, to disappear from society? How and when did the institution of marriage originate? Does it, after all, serve any necessary purpose? Why Marriage, Soon Obsolete, takes an in-depth look at the institutions of marriage, the home and family life, and reveals a startling, even shocking truth, which has been altogether overlooked by science, by religion, by education, and by society. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Some email feedback coming in from you viewers. This one here says, thanks for continuing to expose what the radicals are doing, and thanks to Mr. Locher for showing the climate change madness that is going on. Another one here says, first I want to say thank you for your daily report. Every morning I wake up to hear what you have to say. I cannot help, by the way, I talked to one of our viewers last night who said that he just plays the TD in a continuous loop right through the night because he needs it to sleep. I don't know if that was a positive or a negative, but he listens to it all through the evening. Pretty funny. He loves the show. He loves the show and uses it for a variety of things. This one here says, I cannot help but laugh at the way you express the nonsense about the world that you make so obvious. Says, please, as well, thank Sam, whoever he is, Your behind-the-scenes staff for their hard work and research. Also, kindly thank Richard and Andrew for their inspiring reports when filling in for you. I really do enjoy your wonderful show. It says here, second, I want to say I did not watch the Oprah interview on purpose because I remembered her helping to promote Barack Obama getting into the White House when she put him on her show. So I refused to support her helping Meghan and Harry put down the royal family, knowing that was the aim of this interview. It says, I honestly pray for God to keep the numbers low, hoping they would not get rich on any more lies. It says here again, thank you for your wonderful point of view about the foolish behavior of the world and the new fake president. It astounds me that people do not notice that Joe Biden is not all there. So please keep on reporting the facts that we need to hear and see. Another one coming from Arkansas says, I'm with you every morning, whether I send you a note or not. But especially today, I want to thank you for all the last few days of Bible study about the tongue. I've been working on this for a very long time and make it a priority in growth. I sit here and listen carefully. Thank you. You are the best teacher to me. Another one writes, I just want to thank Mr. Locher for the show he hosted on Tuesday. It was very informative, eye-opening, and yes, inspiring. Truly enjoyed it. Again, thank you for a wonderful program. That comes in response to the show that he subbed in for last Tuesday. This one here from Illinois says, I enjoyed you hosting The Daily Show. You were analytical, statistical, descriptive, and highly energetic. It's nice to hear of the work that has been done to the studio and the description of what's happening behind the scenes. Another one here says, thanks for your broadcast, which I look forward to nearly every day. I have some thoughts. Sometimes violence is inevitable. Peaceful demonstrations can just be ignored. Maybe a section of the American military will rise up. And so on. Further on, let me see. Well, let me move on to another one here. It says, thank you, Mr. Palmer, for a stirring reminder of how this world is so very sick in so many ways. This is from a couple of weeks ago when Richard Palmer subbed in. It says, I think this was a couple of programs before Mr. Locher. It says, everything man is involved in has only one goal, to serve the self. Imagine how often Mr. Armstrong got so caught up in what he was saying that he didn't have time to finish his intended message. Well, you certainly are in excellent company. It says, thanks again for your insight. Keep up the good work. By the way, the new studio looks very professional. That's commenting on the new studio at Edstone, which we'll be in, hopefully, real soon. Next few days, we plan our trip to return to the UK, so we'll be able to enjoy the new facilities that they've been working on over there. It says here, another one, your program Friday was spot on. I have truly come to see that your biblical understanding is accurate and clear, as if Mr. Armstrong himself is speaking. Thank you for preaching God's prophecy in the spirit of Herbert Armstrong. Mr. Gerald Fleury has done an incredible job of preaching God's word. Another one here says, we just heard that California's infinitely wise government has immunized 9 great apes at the San Diego Zoo. They also have plans to continue immunizing more of the chimps, orangutans, and others going forward. So that's a high priority, I guess, in California. It says here, another one, for those missing the ability to speed up the playback speed option on YouTube, there is a workaround. On the Trumpet website, each program has a share option that provides a SoundCloud link. That link can be pasted into and played with a VLC player. So don't understand all of this, but maybe some of you do. It says VLC provides playback speed options. Alternatively, you can download the file and play it in VLC. And yes, at 2 times the playback speed, you do sound uncannily like Ben Shapiro. So there you go. If you want me to sound like Ben Shapiro, just up the speed by 2. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.